It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live listener interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good morning and welcome to the first broadcast of All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and along with my broker colleagues, stand ready to tackle all of your real estate-related questions. Each Sunday, I'll have a special in-studio guest who plays a major role in the real estate process here in New Mexico. We'll also be offering you a ton of useful information during the show that hopefully will make your own experience with real estate more enjoyable and less stressful. You can also check out our website if you need more detailed information or you wish to meet with someone to discuss your own real estate circumstances. Go to www.sfrp.com, that's SantaFeRealtyPartners.com, and click on the radio show icon for a wealth of information. You know, lastly, we all know how bumpy the real estate road has been for the past couple of years. It's been tough for just about everyone, whether you're a buyer or a seller. But I'm here today to tell you that not only is there hope, but there are signs that the real estate market is improving and that there should be optimism in the air. Our goal each week is to bring you timely and valuable information, and along the way, maybe help a bit in bringing back a little bit of grace to the practice of real estate. So sit back, relax, and join in the conversation by calling us here at All Things Real Estate on Talk 1260 KTRC at 505-473-5722, or you can email me with your questions and comments at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, each week we start the show, before I introduce my special in-studio guest, with a little segment called The State of the Market. And I have Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate, on the line with me. Good morning, Andrew. What real estate news do you have today for the listeners?
Hi, Ray. This is Andrew. I think we should talk about rates because a week ago last Tuesday, there seemed to have been a sea change in the rate environment in mortgages, at least. And the mortgage market, I think, has been driving some of the real estate market. At that time, we saw rates jump by almost 0.5%. And it came about when I think bond investors, mortgage bond investors, realized that the Federal Reserve, who was funding most of the purchases in mortgage-backed securities, realized that the Federal Reserve was borrowing at a higher rate than they were lending out, and they didn't like that, and so there was an adjustment. So I tell my clients that the bloom is off the rose, that we were sitting around thinking that mortgage rates would continue at around 5% or even a little bit below and then maybe a little bit above. And I think we've seen a readjustment. I don't think it's a massive readjustment. I think that we were all expecting that there would be inflation, and inflation drives rates higher. But in this case, I think there is a readjustment which we need to experience. What does that mean for real estate? And real estate investors and people buying homes, they'll pay a little bit more. I don't think rates will go above 6%. I think actually over the next couple of weeks we'll see this chaotic time settle down a little bit, and we'll see rates somewhere between 5.25% and 5.5%, which, as you probably know, is historically a great rate. I mean, we were at a 35-year low when we had rates below 5%. And so today, it's still a good market. I mean, it's still a good mortgage market. And for those people who are qualified, they can buy homes and lock in a good rate over a 30-year period.
So the takeaway on this, Andrew, is that right now, though the rates maybe have ticked up a little bit, we're still looking at A, historically low rates, and B, for those people that are qualified, this is a heck of a good time to be out there buying.
Absolutely. You know, I can't imagine why we don't see more investors coming into the market, because rates for investment properties still are low, and they still, with property values if they're low, are still starting to cash flow for investors. So it's a good time for anybody to be looking to buy real estate.
Well, you know, Andrew, I'm thinking that there probably are all sorts of investors that are listening to this radio show right now, and they're going to take your advice, and so the phone will be ringing off the hook at our firm real soon. Listen, I want to thank you so much, Andrew, for your information today. It was quite helpful, and thank you for being on the show and join us each week, okay?
Talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
So long.
That really leads in nicely to what we want to do now, and that's talk to our very special in-studio guest. I want to welcome Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe Area Manager with Fidelity National Title, who's actually one of the sponsors of All Things Real Estate, but more importantly, the firm is a highly regarded title company here in New Mexico. Steve is also an associate broker of real estate, as well as a certified instructor for New Mexico real estate pre-licensing and continuing education courses, and he owns his own real estate education company. And in the spirit of full disclosure, which we as brokers have to do all the time, I must tell you that Steve was my instructor for my own associate broker licensing classes, but generously he has waived the need for me to have to address him today as Mr. Riemann or Professor Riemann. Anyway, welcome, Steve, to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Ray. It really is a privilege for us to be part of the launch of this show, the information and talent that you'll bring out to our market here certainly is going to benefit the real estate industry. Sellers and buyers both stand to gain a lot by your radio show, so I'm just privileged to be a part of it, and good luck to you and good luck to the show. We're excited about it.
Well, thank you. With that, we're going to close the show out. Gino, the producer, thanks very much. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, if you are out there and you're listening to this program and you want to give us a call and ask a question of Steve, why don't you do so right now here at Talk 1260 KTRC. Again, the number is 505-473-5722. You can also email me, and I'll get it right here. I have my little BlackBerry here in the studio. That email address is rpost@sfrp.com. Steve, I want to use this little segment here to talk about the role of a title company. Most people who have participated in a real estate transaction generally know what a title company does. You show up and they do their thing and you leave and everybody's happy. But specifically, walk through a few of the steps that a title company pursues when they're dealing with a client.
Glad to do it, Ray. We actually look at the industry as if we're the hub of the wheel. There are a lot of spokes in the wheel, whether it's the realtor community, the appraisal, the lender, the home inspectors, insurers, etc. And it's our job to assemble all those pieces together. In a very fiduciary way, in a third-party sort of way, not being particularly interested in either side, but protecting both sides and making sure that contract is fulfilled and all the pieces are filled together so that you have a safe and secure transaction. One of the interesting things that we pride ourselves in the title industry is we're the only ones in the title industry that in the industry, real estate industry, that actually issues a title policy or a policy of insurance that says we did it right. And we're proud of that. That's the product that ultimately we stamp our approval on that said we did it right and everyone should feel safe and secure with how the transaction turned out.
Now, today, Steve, we're going to talk a lot about the current state of the real estate market, your vast experience, your observations from two perspectives, both as a real estate broker as well as a title insurance person. But I guess if you wanted to make sort of a general comment about where we are today, versus, say, where we were a year ago, what would that one sort of one sentence be to describe the current state of the environment?
The one statistic that jumps out is that the local office of Fidelity National Title closed twice as many sales this month as we did the month before.
Can you repeat that?
I'm glad to do it because I think people ought to be excited about it.
I'm serious. That's an important statistic.
Absolutely right. And part of it has to do with our own growth, frankly, but part of it also has to do with we've seen many of the buyers come off the sidelines, step in and say, you know, rates are great, prices are great, I can no longer afford to sit on the sidelines. Frankly, I've been wearing a button for the past 4 months that says the bottom is behind us. Mm-hmm. We've all been waiting for that bottom to occur, and I have to tell you that you never know you're at the bottom until you're on the way back up.
That's absolutely the case. Now, there is something that's sort of unique to the title industry here in New Mexico. In the last legislative session, the legislature passed, and it was signed into law, a change in the title insurance industry, the Reform Act. Changes rates, and I'm just curious from the standpoint of being in the in the thick of things as a title insurance person. What was the impact of this piece of legislation? What does it mean to the consumer?
This was the most aggressive situation that we've ever had with the legislature and the Public Regulation Commission that actually holds annual hearings to examine our rates, examine our forms and everything. And the PRC, I think, had it in for our industry a little bit.
The Public Regulatory Commission.
That's correct. Wanted to exact a little bit of damage, and I think they've done that on behalf of the consumer. Our rates have decreased on reissues for refinance transactions. We've been advocating that for years. We frankly felt as though there was more discounting that could be done in the refinance industry, and that is one of the main effects that came out of this most recent legislation. The second part is that we've introduced, for the first time, introduced competition into the industry where the rates that are set by the state are now top rates or cap rates, and any underwriter and every underwriter is welcome to file rates that are actually lower and can benefit the consumer more. So we're excited about those changes. I think it does bring more competition and much more consumer-friendly spirit into the law.
Have you noticed that consumers have mentioned this issue to you when you've gone through a closing, that they're delighted that this is the case, or what's been the impact from average person?
Well, we have obviously seen some positive impact from people saying, well, that looks pretty reasonable in terms of our fees. Mm-hmm. You know, we've never felt as though our product was, frankly, overpriced. We just felt like most people don't see the value in what we do. And, you know, we're one of those companies that if we do everything just like we're supposed to, we should have very little contact with the consumers. Everything should be sort of behind the scenes and done really well. That's why people, I think, frankly, are somewhat surprised sometimes at our fees or, you know, not appreciative of our fees. But frankly, we think we do a heck of a job that's mostly behind the scenes, and we bring a lot of value to our price.
Well, I asked people to call in. They decided to email me. My BlackBerry's light is going off here, and actually a question just came in from Jenny. Hi, Ray. Please ask Steve his thoughts on this issue. I'm selling my house, and the buyer is asking me to pay for the cost of a new title insurance policy. Why can't I get the buyer to pay for this or at least split the cost with me when we settle? So what's your thought on that?
Well, certainly everything in a real estate purchase agreement is negotiable. This state is what we call heavily weighted towards the seller, where, frankly, historically, most of the fees are paid for by the seller in order to, you know, properly transact their property to the buyer. In other states, you'll see a much more even pricing between the buyer and the seller. So I encourage the seller to negotiate those things. There's certainly room for it in the contract. I remember also that the buyer is the ultimate insured of our title policies. And so you're seeing a little bit more activity now on behalf of the buyers requesting where the transaction closes, because they're the ones that walk away with the title policy, mm-hmm. and they're the ones that benefit from the product. And so they're exercising a little bit more discretion and power.
So this is a negotiating issue. You can, in fact, ask someone to split the cost or maybe take the whole cost. And, of course, as you said, Steve, in the current market, and it's always been the case, but especially now, everything is negotiable. I'm also a real estate agent in Washington, D.C., and ironically, it's just the reverse there. In D.C., the buyer, almost 99% of the time, pays for the title insurance policy. So you're absolutely right. It depends on the jurisdiction. And I think maybe, again, I should remind everybody to give us a call if you do have a question for Mr. Reiman, Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title, again, right here on All Things Real Estate, Talk 1260 KTRC. Give us a call at 505-473-5722. And maybe, Gino, we'll take a little break here. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Steve Reiman regarding the current state of the real estate market. Come on back in a minute. Okay, welcome back to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and you're listening today to a conversation I'm having with Mr. Steve Reiman, who is with Fidelity National Title. Steve is the Santa Fe area manager for the company. And during the break, we were talking a little bit about things associated with why one chooses Santa Fe as their place to live and work. And I know, Steve, you've been all over the country. You're regaling me with stories of living in as many towns as there are, I think, states. 50 towns, I think it was. But why did you decide to live in Santa Fe, and how is that impacting on your work-life balance anyway?
Well, I just love Santa Fe. I have lived a number of places around the country, and it's been a privilege to be a part of different cultures and different towns and different settings. I suppose I could simply answer that question by the fact that as I look at you, outside the back window are the snow-capped mountains of the Sangres, which is a beautiful place, and I'm sitting here in my bicycle shorts because I rode my bicycle over to the radio.
Yeah, which was a scary thought. I watched as I drove up to the parking lot, and there was Steve getting off of his bike, and I'm thinking, my first show, my first guest, and he could have died on the highway. What would I be doing right now? So I'm delighted that you've made it. That was a little surprising. And you're absolutely right. Gino Thompson, my producer, has the luckiest workspace in the country with all this view he has, for sure. You know what? I'm going to actually sort of get into a little bit of the conversation we were having about the market situation, and particularly here in Santa Fe. Santa Fe is a unique market from a real estate standpoint. As you were saying in the break, there are segments of the market that don't exist anywhere else. And there are ebbs and flows here that we don't see anywhere else. Just talk a little bit about that from your own experience.
Well, in the decade that I've been here, you can certainly see that the lows in our market are shallower than lows in the national market. They're shorter termed. We see recovery better. This is really a desirable location in whatever segment of the real estate industry you're buying. We've seen a lot of recovery lately in certain segments of the market. El Dorado is a real hot market right now. Prices, most of the closings that we've done have been fairly modest prices for Santa Fe. I'd like to put that qualification in there. But this is a market that doesn't see huge long-term shifts. It sees subtler shifts and quicker rebounds. Uh-huh. So we're encouraged by that.
Uh-huh. And again, that goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the show with Andrew Hoffman, that for buyers, this being the case, now is the time to, if you're sitting on the fence and you're waiting for the market to go lower, to go back to the button that Steve Riemann says he wears a lot. I mean, we've hit the bottom probably, and, you know, you might hear this from real estate brokers all the time, and you think that we're just trying to sell you houses, but believe us, we're the experts in this field, and if we're telling you that, you know, we're at the bottom, now's the time to buy, the inventory's high, prices are moderate, sellers are obviously needing to negotiate, then try to believe us. Don't you agree?
I agree entirely. In fact, I'm pleased to see a lot of the buyers coming off the fence with prices being as modest as they are, and that's unfortunate for some of the sellers that need to leave the market. Santa Fe is quite often the market that people don't actually have to do something. And so there's much more discretion and ability to wait, ability to take time. I think the sooner the buyer gets in this market, the better off they'll be in the long term. And I think that the national recovery is certainly showing its face here as well. And this is a great time to buy a home in Santa Fe.
And there's sort of a unique aspect here, though it's obviously a phenomenon that's occurring all over the country. But you brought it up before, Steve, in the break that we had regarding the whole green aspect with construction. There are people who are pursuing this, building houses that are more green, that is, more energy efficient, ecologically minded. And, in fact, it adds value to the home in a way that maybe in Santa Fe we're sort of cutting edge on this. We don't see in other parts of the country.
I'm actually very proud of Santa Fe and some of the legislation we've passed, some of the municipal regulations we've passed. So many people are interested in it and working hard to bring a green theme to the industry here, whether it's indoor air quality that people need to be conscious of for their own health reasons, whether or not it's valuation for resale purposes. I live in a home that's insulation wrapped with 3 inches of insulation, all of triple pane windows.
Did you put that in, or was it that way when you bought it?
Part of what was done before, and part of it since we've acquired it. We're putting in a recirculating hot water system. Those are the things that we think we do because we want to live right in this earth. Mm-hmm. And secondly is because, yes, I do think it's going to add value to our home in the longer term and bring something to...
Another issue, too. There are major federal and state income tax incentives for actually participating in greening your house and building green. And those are not insignificant as far as a dollar amount, are they?
Not insignificant at all.
One thing that I know we're seeing more of these days, too, is sort of a movement on the part of people to think about, you know, having a second or a third home, you know, in outside of this area, looking at Santa Fe as a destination for a second or third home. It's always been a destination, but I've noticed that people in the East, again, I'm an agent back in Washington, D.C., are looking for places to retire to, and they see Santa Fe, great climate, great culture, as if it's sort of undiscovered as a second home market. It's now becoming so, and particularly with this green aspect. Are you seeing that from the title industry standpoint, too?
Well, it's hard for us to see that from title. You know, we typically see the transaction at the end of the transaction, and we don't necessarily see the homes or see all the virtues or attributes of the home, per se. But I think it is a point well taken that people are moving here for second homes. They appreciate the four seasons, the lifestyle that we live here. And as the population in America ages, this becomes an easier place to live and a place where your soul can rest as well as your body.
Absolutely. Gino Thompson, my producer, are you seeing some music on the horizon there that deals with a legal topic of the week? I think you are, aren't you? Well, you know, it's actually time for our friends at the Reuben Katz Law Firm to offer up their real estate legal topic of the week. And today, attorney Melanie McGillivray has given me some excellent information on something that many buyers need to know about when considering the purchase of a home located in certain subdivisions. Specifically, what is a homeowners association and what does it do? By definition, a homeowners association, or HOA, is a nonprofit corporation organized for the purpose of managing the subdivision. Now, an HOA can have oversight and management responsibility for many of the services a municipality or county would provide, such as maintenance of the streets and sidewalks, garbage disposal, and streetlights. Also, an HOA can provide community leadership, architectural control, covenant enforcement, as well as accounting and finance services, among other things. If you're considering buying in an established neighborhood, your HOA has probably been in existence for some time, so that once you become an owner of a lot or residence, you automatically become a member of the HOA. With that membership, you usually receive one vote, which you can exercise for any decisions the HOA needs to make during membership meetings. If you've had experience with an HOA, sometimes it's not very good, sometimes it is very good, but often it's within the context of dealing with a document called a Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions, or more commonly known as CC&Rs. This document contains the specific restrictions on the use of property within a subdivision, as well as mandatory payment of assessments. This document is what a buyer should obtain when considering a real estate purchase, because it defines what the buyer can and cannot do if they're contemplating renovations or expansions of an existing structure. It also is in your best interest to review the HOA budget, assessments, and the status of their reserves so you are totally aware of your financial responsibilities as a potential homeowner. Whether you live in a community with an HOA is a personal choice that obviously must match what you as a home buyer wish to achieve with the property you own. So if you're considering professional legal assistance on HOA issues or other matters, go to our website, www.sfrp.com, and click on the radio show icon and go to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. Thanks again, attorney Melanie McGillivray, for bringing us some very good commentary for your legal topic of the week. Anyway, Steve Riemann, back to our discussion here. I think you told me that you actually are a member of an HOA. You're an officer, aren't you?
I am indeed, and have been for a number of years. I appreciate Melanie McGillivray's comments. Melanie's an excellent legal mind in this town.
She's listening right now, so you obviously are going to get a Christmas card.
Melanie does a great job for her clients, and she's wise to bring out the CC&Rs and homeowners of situation problems. That is, by the way, some of the mandatory documents that we, the title company, provide to the buyer in anticipation of the transaction. The buyer needs to know that his home is regulated by a homeowners association and CC&Rs, just like they need to know where the easements for utilities or other matters are on their property. So Melanie's making a good point. We enjoy our homeowners association. We don't have a lot of power to affect architectural issues, but we do preserve, frankly, one of the nicest green belts in all of Santa Fe, right along Rodeo Road and opposite of the rodeo. Our homeowners association takes care of of that acreage, and we're proud to do so and proud to be caring for an important green belt in town.
Well, listen, there's a testimonial from someone who has lived with an HOA and is an officer of an HOA, so it shouldn't be something that scares you off as a home buyer from choosing that particular community. You know what? I think I'm going to take a break right now from our discussion here with Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title. Please give us a call here at KTRC, and that number again is 505-473-5722. Stay with us for more of All Things Real Estate. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. I'm in the studio today with Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title, and we're talking about a whole bunch of different things. We have a caller on the line who I'll take in a second, Gino. I also have another email message, but before I get into that, I want to take a moment just to encourage you out there to make a visit to Stevens, a consignment gallery located at 2701 Cerrillos Road. You know, Stevens is a locally owned and well-known institution here in Santa Fe with more than 26 years of experience offering quality antiques, furniture, art, estate items, and accessories. Besides offering these unique items for purchase, co-owners Stephen Etree and Glenn Smith offer estate property and art appraisal services and have gained a reputation as being Santa Fe's premier source for local and national interior decorators and set designers. So we are proud to have Stevens as one of our underwriters of All Things Real Estate, and hope when you are in need of quality antiques, art, estate items, or appraisal services, you visit them at 2701 Cerrillos Road. You can learn more about Stevens by going to our website. Again, it's www.sfrp.com. Okay, we have Tommy on the line. Delighted that you're calling us on our inaugural broadcast of All Things Real Estate. Tommy, how can I help you today? Gone. Sorry, I waited too long for Tommy. I apologize. And I'm going to take a email question. This is actually directed to you, Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title. My wife just passed away, and I'm not sure if I need to do something with the title and the house we've owned together. What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
I really appreciate the call. You know, title companies do a lot more than just issue title insurance. We are really a source of information, a resource to most folks for questions just like this. It all, frankly, depends, into this particular caller, as to how he and his wife, acquired the property, whether they acquired the property as joint tenants with right of survivorship or as tenants in common. That's a technical question that perhaps we won't get into too much discussion of, but it's a great question because we field questions from the average consumer like this all day long. And like I said, title insurance isn't just about a product that we shove down your throat at closing, but frankly, it's in order to help you understand your rights as homeowners, mortgagees, et cetera, mortgagors. And so I would encourage this gentleman to call us. Fidelity's phone number is 995-8800. I can pull the resource deed or the vesting deed whereby the gentleman and his wife acquired the property and tell him whether there is anything or not that they need to do to solidify title in his name now.
Well, that's great information, Steve. Again, that was Arnold who sent that email to us, and our heart goes out to you, Arnold, on the passing of your wife, and I hope this was useful information for you. Back again, I think Tommy is back with us. Tommy, are you on the line?
I am.
Well, thank you for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, I was wondering, you know, title companies are always generic. Title company, who pays or whatever. So what makes Fidelity Title better than any other title?
Okay, Tommy, I tell you what, you need to turn your radio down a little bit, but I think we got the message there. Steve Riemann is dying to give you the answer.
Thanks, Tommy. I appreciate the question a lot. We are very proud of being Fidelity Title. We are the largest in the country. We're 130 years old. But we have the largest reserves for claims of any title company in the country. In fact, we have twice the reserves for claims of any of our competitors. So one of the ways that we distinguish ourselves is merely our financial strength and our ability to make transactions happen. But one of the other things that we're real proud of course, I'm super proud of my staff. We have a great staff of closing officers and assistants and title folks that work extremely hard to bring a product that's really effective, for our clients and really transaction-oriented. Too many title companies aren't focused on the transaction. They're focused on the title, and we prefer to focus on the transaction and make it happen. We also operate the most complex and complete title plant in this county. That's the record of documents that we have. In fact, we have calls from the county clerk on occasion where we'll have documents that the county clerk doesn't have. And we get to respond to their needs for documentation. So our local resources, our people, our financial strength, and I always like to say our sense of humor is something that really distinguishes us.
Epitomized by Mr. Steve Riemann. Tommy, was that helpful to you? Did that answer your question?
It was. I just wonder what the difference is. You know, is he saving me dollars as a buyer or a seller?
I'm sorry.
The question was whether or not you're saving Tommy dollars as a buyer or seller.
Well, we certainly like to do that and try to do that. We are actually very aggressive with our own initiative to try and find prior title policies, prior issues that we can discount the title insurance on. Sometimes companies do that fairly reluctantly. We do it very aggressively. We believe the consumer ought to get every discount possible at law, and so we will actually be aggressive in looking for opportunities to create.
So, Steve, are you telling me that you really work hard in going back to keep me out of trouble as a buyer or a seller?
Absolutely. We're going to keep you out of trouble, and we're going to issue a policy of insurance that protects everybody in the transaction to make sure that it went well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Tommy.
You're welcome. Appreciate
it very much. And I just received an email from John. I think maybe we touched on this a little bit, but he asked specifically, who chooses what title company to use, the buyer or the seller?
And typically in our market, and this is just historical, the seller has chosen to direct title work with the cooperation of their listing broker. That's a question that is answered differently around the country. In a lot of jurisdictions, a lot of states, the buyers pay more and therefore have more power in selection. Typically here in Santa Fe, the seller is paying for the majority of the costs, and so the seller has historically been making that choice. Although there are federal laws, the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, we call it RESPA, lends itself also to that decision-making. We frankly feel that the buyer ought to have a little bit more power and authority in this respect because the buyer is the insured on our policies.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, RESPA is one of the guiding principles that all real estate brokers need to abide by. It's the law, and it's a good law to have, actually.
You were listening very well in the classes that I instructed.
I listened to every word that you spoke to me, Mr. Riemann, Professor. You know what? I'm going to sort of chat for a moment, too, about something else that we have as a valuable resource to our listeners out there. I suspect that if you're like most homeowners or renters, there comes a time when you need some expert advice or assistance with a problem that has occurred at your home or condo, or maybe you've decided that it's time to renovate or replace or simply redesign something at the place that you call home. Well, if you find yourself in any of these circumstances, then what's most important to you is to identify that very best person or company that can help you meet your needs. We've assembled some of the finest people in the business to help you with your home needs and have placed them on our website under the heading of Real Estate Resources. So help is just around the corner. Again, go to www.sfrp.com, click on the radio show icon, and then head on over to the Real Estate Resources list of service providers. You also can linger a little bit there and see a fabulous picture of Steve Riemann on the radio show page, and actually click on Fidelity National Titles icon, and they will take you right to all the services that he's been talking about today. Steve, there are lots of things out there that people need to know about when they go into settlement on their property. Walk through just for a minute about the process, and maybe even more importantly or more in a more interesting way, talk about some of the more challenging settlement situations that you've encountered over the years that might be useful for the listeners to know about, especially those first-time home buyers.
Well, there are just a myriad of places that transactions can hit a hiccup, and it's our job to investigate those, to ask the right questions, to bring out the right information so the transaction happens in a safe and secure way. Issues can come up with contractor liens, where contractors have worked on the property and never been paid, or argue their payment and file a lien against the property, for instance. There is no notice requirement in the state of New Mexico on a residential lien, so a contractor could actually work on your property and file a lien, and you'd never know it until you contacted us for a settlement with respect to something happening on your property. We can get into probate issues. We can get into issues of deceased and estates. Survey issues is probably one of the larger issues that we deal with here in Santa Fe.
Talk a little bit about what you mean by that.
Well, it's just boundary line encroachments and joint use of properties. Santa Fe is historically one of those wonderfully mixed, diverse towns where you can find a multimillion-dollar house and next door a house that's been there for 50 years, and people have shared the driveway for those 50 years. What does that mean?
And it's been perfectly fine between them, right?
Up till now, it's been fine, but
yeah.
Now you have a new buyer, a new seller, and a couple of new questions being asked. And so it's our job to investigate that and inform the parties of what their rights are and settle any controversies. We're helpful in settling those controversies to make sure that people know what their rights are.
Very good. And I guess that just in a nutshell, though, most of the time settlements are pretty straightforward. Isn't that the case?
Well, we certainly would like to hope so. But as soon as you say that, you've probably cursed the transaction. So
yeah.
We prefer not to use that.
But now, by the sound of that music, it's time for another insurance tip brought to you by our friends at Hub International. So one day you take a look at your property tax bill, and I know, Steve, you've encountered this with buyers and homeowners, and you see that the terms assessed value and taxable value jump right out at you. What you read may have little to do with what you think is the value of your home, and how do market value, tax value, and insurance value relate to one another? Well, let's take a listen to what Robin Schritter, Regional Vice President with Hub International, has to say about these issues. You know, Robin, in this current real estate market, many buyers are getting some great deals on home purchases. But a number of buyers assume that they should insure their home for what they paid for it. What's your thought on this point?
Actually, maybe not. Insurance valuation doesn't really care about the market price. Remember, our purpose is to put you back where you were before the loss occurred. Market prices fluctuate depending on supply and demand and general economic conditions. The insurance company is concerned with the cost to rebuild your house, as we assumed that's what you'd want to do. A mortgage company is generally only concerned with covering the amount of their loan, but that too can be short-sighted as there are penalties for not insuring the value to replace. You obviously do not want to insure for a value that is more than the replacement cost, as you would be paying for unnecessary insurance. The best solution? Talk to your agent. They have a number of tools that can help you determine the proper amount of coverage based on the features of your home.
Okay, Robin, that's really sound advice. But now, how about the phenomenon that we're seeing in greater numbers these days? Specifically, many couples have started living together who are not married. And also, what about parents who are living with adult children or adult children who are living with their parents? Do these situations present issues for homeowners insurance?
Issues, yes. Problems, no. Insurance companies realize we're not living in the 50s and the social norms have changed. Homeowners' policies are, however, contracts and contain language regarding ownership and occupancy of the property that needs to be addressed. Again, communication is the key. Do partners own property together? This can be real property and contents. Does one own real property and the other reside in the house? Are these children involved? What ages? How about other family members? Parents and grandparents, perhaps? The key is who really owns what. All of these are able to be resolved if your agent is aware of them. Best possible solution, talk to your agent.
Okay, Robin, great advice and another terrific insurance tip from our friends at Hub International. Okay, that was, in fact, a very good tip from Hub International folks. And you can, again, go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio show icon, and it'll take you right to Hub International if you want some more information from that company. I think we're going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back for a little bit more discussion with our special guest here today in the studio and on Things Real Estate, Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title. Be back in a minute. Okay, welcome back to All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. I'm in the studio today with Steve Riemann, who is Santa Fe Area Manager for Fidelity National Title, and we've had a number of good questions I just received another email from Susan. Let's see if I can read this. Having just gone through a foreclosure situation that did not ultimately go through, I guess they didn't close on the deal, can you and the title company speak to some of the pros and pitfalls of such a transaction? So essentially foreclosures, they're more prevalent in this economy. Fortunately, here in Santa Fe, we're not seeing quite the number that other parts of the country are. But, Steve, your thoughts on that from your own experience?
And I agree. We've not seen the number of foreclosures that a lot of markets have. We have seen some short sales where lenders are taking discounts in order to be able to move properties, recognizing that if the lender does have to foreclose, they're going to have certain losses anyway.
You should define, because it's a little confusing, people hear foreclosure, they hear short sale, but give, Professor, give a little definition between the two, because there is a major difference between them.
Well, there sure is. In a foreclosure situation, the lender, by judicial foreclosure or by action of permitted by the court and permitted by their deed of trust documents, actually will take the property from the present owner in order to be able to market the property themselves and recapture their debt or recapture their loss. That can result in any number of scenarios for sellers, including short sale losses and deficiency judgments and those sorts of things. In a short sale, you have a cooperative seller, a cooperative lender, where the lender will agree to discount the mortgage debt on the property in order to be able to move the property to another party, another buyer, recognizing the lender does that any foreclosure is probably going to be more expensive than just cooperating, taking a discount, and allowing the property to move in order to have the debt repaid.
Now, I know from a broker standpoint, because we've had classes on this and we've talked about it, and in fact, a number of my colleagues at Santa Fe Realty Partners are working on short sales on a regular basis. That's a very complicated process. So foreclosure is seemingly much more straightforward when you've reached that point. But from A to Z with a short sale, if you don't follow it A to Z, if you go from A to Q and then try to go to Z, the deal could be dead.
Short sales require a great deal of patience. Foreclosures are statutory animals. The statutes of New Mexico prescribe how the foreclosure is to take place, so there's a great deal of structure to it. In a short sale, you're looking at cooperation between parties, and there's got to be a great deal of patience, a great deal of communication. Lenders have historically had a number of different departments involved in their short sales, and so it can get very complex and take a fair good amount of time in order to close. Sellers need to be real patient, as do buyers, to make sure that the cooperation is there to affect the transaction.
Now, again, as you pointed out correctly, Santa Fe, God bless us here, is not experiencing the same sort of experience with the foreclosures that, say, are occurring in the Phoenix area, Southern California, even South Florida.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And I suppose that if we all are optimistic, and we are, that the economy is coming around, that they're through the current administration and Congress and all of the efforts of the regular guy out there, that things are turning around, the real estate market will see some light at the end of the tunnel at the end of this year. I suppose it's sort of ironic that we may be, what do you think, have we seen the end of foreclosures and short sale problems, or are we still here in Santa Fe going to experience a bump in that over the next few months?
I think that we're still in the midst of it. I do think that we are normalizing in terms of becoming into a market where it's strictly buyer and seller negotiated, and there are fewer lenders involved in the transaction to the extent of short sales or lenders not having adequate collateral for their debt. But I certainly think, like I said, we're still in the midst of it, and I think we'll see continuing number of those over time. There were just, unfortunately, way too many reactions after 9/11, 2001 that have put people into homes that they couldn't afford, etc., and those still have to filter through the system while the economy normalizes.
Very good. You know, Los Alamos National Bank, the sponsor of our Open House of the Week segment, was established back in 1963 by a group of local investors who saw a need for a convenient, full-service community bank. Fast forward to 2009, and I can report that LANB is one of the largest and strongest banks in New Mexico. It's actually been named a best place to work by New Mexico Business Weekly, and LANB was recently awarded the designation of Green Business of the Year by the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce. Los Alamos National Bank, where their goal is to provide you with the best financial products available combined with superior customer service. We're proud to have them as a sponsor of the show, and especially for a segment that's coming up right now, Open House of the Week, where I am calling out to one of my colleagues at Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today the lucky person is Bob Burbick, lucky because he gets to talk to us. And Bob, you get to sell us for 2 minutes. It's the old football drill. 2 minutes to sell Steve Reiman, Ray Post, Gino Thompson, and all the listeners about the house that you're doing an open house at today. Tell us about it. Bob, are you there? Oh, no, he's not. Well, we're going to have to call him back in a minute. But you know what? This reminds me of something, and that is that technology can't be counted all the time. No matter all of your predestined sort of activities to make sure that it's there. I can tell you that Bob is actually sitting right now at, and you know what, I think probably what happened is Bob had a buyer who came through the door and pulled him away from the phone.
Writing a contract.
He could be writing a contract, and that's the news that we want. Bob, did we get you back there at 24 Camino Sabanero?
Absolutely.
And tell us a little bit about that property. You got 2 minutes to sell us.
Great. Well, Ray, let me start by welcoming everyone to La Pradera. La Pradera is a unique subdivision of custom homes in the Community College District. Built in 2007, this three-bedroom home with office is set on the nicest lot in the community, affording a unique combination of privacy and open space. You'll feel the quality the moment you step through the door. This home's open floor plan boasts a fabulous kitchen with custom cabinets, absolutely beautiful granite, and stainless steel appliances. The living areas are finished in diamond plaster with hand-carved doors, vigas, travertine floors, and two Kiva fireplaces. You'll also enjoy outdoor living and entertaining at its best on the beautiful wraparound portal with built-in grill. All this plus an excellent location for quick and easy access to I-25, shopping, and schools. If you've been looking around, you'll know that many of the newer homes feel like cookie-cutter boxes built on very small lots. It's hard to find a newer home with this level of finish. This home also represents a great value, as similar homes on the north side cost almost $100,000 more. Bottom line, if you're looking for a home that simply feels right, this is it. Please come by and take a look. We're open today through 2 p.m. How's that, right?
Well, Bob, I'm sold. If I had a checkbook, I'd be on my way down there. I think the seller is going to be kissing you after we hang up. But thanks so much for calling. And listen, everybody out there that's driving around and wants to go to a fabulous open house, please join Bob at 24 Camino Sabarino, and he'll be there until 2 o'clock. Thanks a lot, Bob. Talk to you soon.
Trey, have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. You know, we're getting down to the end of the show here, Steve. We have, I think, about a minute or so to go, and so I just want to get your closing thoughts on the title, company role in the transaction of real estate.
Well, thanks, Ray, and it's certainly been my privilege to be on the show today, and Fidelity National Title is a proud sponsor of this show, and we look forward to your success with this show. You know, I think that most people don't understand our product, they need to know that we are easy to obtain, easy to contact. We want to be your title company for life. We just don't want to handle this transaction. We want to answer your future questions. You want to put the property in a trust. You need, as the gentleman earlier, want to check title now that his wife is deceased. Those sorts of questions we are ready and willing and wanting to answer all day long, and our phones are available for you at 995-8800, and we want people to understand what we do, and we're privileged to do that.
Great, Steve. Thanks so much for being my special in-studio guest today. That's Steve Reiman with Fidelity National Title. Shared some terrific information. Also want to thank my producer, Gino Thompson, for doing all he does to make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Lastly, I want to thank you for listening today and invite you back next Sunday at 12 o'clock on All Things Real Estate right here on Talk 1260 KTRC.